Welcome to the Search Storage UK Special Report Podcast on Data Classification. My name's Anthony Adshead, Bureau Chief for Search Storage UK. Today's speaker is Simon Johnson, Data Recovery Practice Lead with Glasshouse UK. The first question today is, why do businesses embark on data classification projects?
Organisations typically embark on data classification projects to achieve one of three things at a high level. The first is to identify key business data so it can be found quickly and efficiently. Second is to remove wasted data and duplicated data and make sure that data is aligned to the correct infrastructure. There's a significant cost both in terms of capital and operational expenditure associated with infrastructure to house data. We can typically see this exceeding $30 for fully burdened gigabyte upwards. And if that housing data that has no business value or no relative business value, then that's a very expensive exercise, and customers embark on data classification to understand that value and to make sure it's aligned correctly. And the third is to meet any legal or regulatory requirements for retrieving and having access to that data or that specific information within a set time frame. Data growth and data growth rates over the last 5 to 10 years have been rapid. We typically see 80% per annum upwards for data growth. And that explosion in data has resulted in a lack of understanding as to what that data means for business. And by that, I mean understanding its confidentiality, who should have access and who shouldn't have access to the data. Accounts are a good example. We don't want everybody seeing, or organizations don't want everybody seeing what people get paid. Integrity of the data is key to understand, and by that I mean the quality of the data and the quality of the data to the business. So a lower integrity level of data, the less value it has. Higher integrity, obviously, the greater the value. And availability, what are the access profiles that the end user community require to get that data, to retrieve it, to read it, and to use it for business purposes. Data represents varying degrees of business value, which are both tangible and intangible. And by that, I mean financial value. So, for example, market data in a trading house has a significant value, as does CRM database information to an organization that's looking for customer-related information. That has a specific pound value to it. Public relations represents more of an intangible value. For example, an online sales website has to provide the end user with access, with timely access, and with the correct functionality. If it fails to do so, then confidence in that and the driver to go back and use it again will reduce. So an intangible public relations value there. And then the regulatory and compliance value. So, for example, a law firm might have to provide access to metadata as they go through a trial, and it's very important to make sure that information is available to the right people and within the correct access profiles. With all that said, data classification can apply to any type of data. Data can be classified in any way that's meaningful to any organization. That can be by topical content, file type, operating platform, average file size, creation dates or access dates. Specific departmental allocation of data can be a driver for classification. So in summary, companies embark on data classification projects to understand which factors influence their data, and what importance that data represents, driving the access profiles and the cost that is spent on storing it.
The second question is, what benefits can be gained from data classification projects?
Organisations are overwhelmed with data, and that can be broken down by structured data, semi-structured and non-structured, much of which represents business value, but equally much of which represents no business value. Industry standard reports indicate that about 20% of storage actually purchased holds meaningful data. So for every gig, 20% of that actually holds meaningful business data and business data that has value. So the benefits from a data classification project can be extensive and wide-ranging. And to summarize a couple, One of the first benefits is the alignment of data with business requirements. This means that IT can understand what its customers, the end user, required to effectively and efficiently access the data and provide access to them with a timely and efficient manner. So they allocate the availability of that data in accordance with the access profiles and the business value it represents to their customers, the end user. Organizations through data classification can identify where data should be sent and who should have access to it. So that's the confidentiality area. It's critical, and we've seen it in the press, where people, the inappropriate people can have access to data. It can be very embarrassing, very damaging. And through data classification, organizations can understand what those access profiles should be and who should have access. Data classification can further enable organizations to understand data that represents business value and data that represents no business value. That doesn't mean that data that represents no business value is automatically deleted and purged in the environment, the data center's infrastructure in which it's held, but it means that it can be aligned correctly to the infrastructure and the storage that serves that up to the end user. There's a significant cost associated with increasing access profiles, increasing time of access, and increasing resilience around that data. It's critical to make sure that you're spending the right amount of money to provide access and to classify data correctly and not just serve up all data on very expensive mediums, which will also have significant data center environmental impacts. That dovetails into recovering data in the event of data loss, so disaster recovery. If you have all your data together, you haven't gone through a data classification exercise, it may take you 24 hours to bring back a chunk of data that you've lost. If only 10 or 20% of that's actually meaningful or represents significant business value and is the data that you need to get the organization back up and running and making money again, then you've wasted a huge amount of time recovering data that represents no value and serves no purpose. So to classify that data, to understand what value that data has, greatly helps the disaster recovery process and speeds it up and enables you to get that critical data back up and running in a more timely manner. Further, data classification assists in addressing compliance and regulatory requirements against data types. Regulation around data and digital data is becoming more prevalent, and it's key that organizations understand that regulation and that they address the requirements of that through a data classification exercise, so a further benefit there from data classification. Classification tends to optimize the use of data storage for multiple purposes, and that can be technical drivers, administrative, legal, and economic. Ultimately, they all result in mitigating cost and risk. So you've got your data correctly aligned, your valuable data correctly aligned, and you have the access profiles there that the business requires. A well-planned data classification system makes essential data easy to find against a service cost that is aligned to the business value it represents.
The third question is, what data classification processes and products are available, and in what key ways do they vary?
Data classification processes and products pretty break down into two areas. The manual area looks at the processes and policies that organizations apply to the data during a classification exercise. And then the second is the automated tool sets that then go into support how that data is dealt with and ensure it moves through the hierarchy in the appropriate manner as defined in those manual processes and policies. Software exists that can help with data classification, but in the end, value is subjective business and is often best done as a collaborative task which takes into account the business and the users that sit there, the technical community, and other points of view depending on your organizational sector. The tools available in the marketplace vary considerably in capabilities, strengths, and ease of use, and these data classification products can, to varying degrees, automate data classification and storage planning efforts around that data. Nearly all of the products provide a first level of classification by examining and recording metadata about each file in the system. They usually reference the organization's enterprise directory to collect ownership and privilege information. Metadata strategies can be employed through the use of tagging and database tracking. Some of the products provide an additional level of classification by directly examining file content. This accumulated classification information in the form of metadata repositories and indexes can be used by storage managers to better manage the placement of these files within the storage hierarchy and serve as an input to automated storage resource management tools. So once a discovery of that data has occurred and the data is understood, the process and policies are defined by the business that sit around that, IT can take that, automate or leverage the automated tools to then manipulate and move that data through the hierarchy in accordance with the manually defined policies. From a new technology perspective, there are some exciting looking technologies emerging. These can tag data by relating it specifically to employees who created it. As a result, traditional data can be categorized by file type as well as by software knowledge-based assets that store specific employee expertise. Expertise software can help to quickly locate and access information about the person who has the most relevant knowledge set, often and typically because they work in a similar project, task or job. Document management is further evolving with data classification. Designed specifically to analyze and handle information in images and text, whether digital, printed or handwritten. These products can categorize text and combine both text and images through a method using hybrid categorization. So we see a lot of tools out in the marketplace at the moment that look at file types, file extensions, size, modification dates, and the hybrid categorization is starting to bring in components within that file along with those traditional classification and manipulation methods. Finally, there are tools aimed at large enterprises which use content and metadata analysis and repository management as well as discovery and data movement technologies to track and classify that data. This allows users to classify data based upon its relative importance, move it to storage tiers according to predetermined policies, so we go back to the manual process and policies there, working in conjunction with automated tool sets, and further manage its retention for compliance. So a number of factors there, combining manual process and automated tool sets to really make the most out of data classification. When it comes to data classification and identification, ultimately there is no lack of powerful software tools to assist. As has always been the case with IT projects, the success of the system comes down to a solid and enterprise-wide supported implementation strategy that takes into account both the end users and optimizes automated tool sets to support those manual processes.
Fourth question is, what are the key pitfalls of data classification projects and how can you avoid them?
Data classification projects and the ongoing success of an implemented data classification system really have the same pitfalls that we see through a lot of IT projects. Firstly, it's key to get support of management and the end user employees who will be using the system. It's key that they understand the objectives of delivering data classification as a project, what it's trying to achieve for the organization, what value it will bring to it to get their buy-in. And it's key to involve those people in the initial project stage so you really understand the drivers and the influencing factors imposed upon a specific organization. All organizations have differing influences and differing values around differing data types. And the people who are best placed to help you determine what those key criteria are the educated end users themselves, long-established or well-educated members of the end user community that understand the business objectives, understand the value of the data, and work with third parties to understand also external influences upon that they may not be so aware of. So it's really key to get that buy-in and support of management and users and to use them to optimize understanding of the data and the value of data within the business and the project. Data classification can be a very expensive exercise, and it's not always prudent to deploy data classification across your entire estate. As I stated earlier, we've seen an explosion in data, in digital data, 80% per annum upwards over a number of years. And this has led to petabytes of data sitting in the data center. So to try and classify all of that data can be a very expensive project. So you really need to look at your data, discover it, analyze it, and then work out what do we need to classify? What's going to give the maximum return to classify and make sure we're addressing those drivers behind data classification without doing it as a broad stroke across the board and spending an awful lot of money to potentially not get a much larger return than, say, if you did on just 20% of your critical data in the estate? To not have an understanding or to misinterpret the governance rules around data is another key pitfall in data classification projects. Governance and regulation around data is evolving. It's not always clear. Organisations struggle, understandably, to have a clear view of which specific regulatory requirements apply to them and which don't. And it can be very easy to misinterpret those or to miss certain governance rules, which will ultimately result in part of your data classification project failing because you haven't addressed some of the key drivers and influences behind it correctly. Further pitfalls around data classification projects and the ongoing running of data classification system is losing centralized control of the tool set and the processes that are used to discover and classify a corporation's data. Data is fluid. The importance it represents within an organization is fluid. From one quarter to the next or one year to the next, a data type or a data area that was not so important a year ago, it could now be very important. And you need to retain that centralized control so you don't have different pockets of the organization applying what they consider their own rules around data classification. You've put that in place with the correct people to start from the project. If you lose control of that, people can start to use a system for their own benefits and for what they think is the correct way of doing it, rather than approaching it from an organizational level, which could ultimately result in systems pulling against each other and working against each other. On that note, to monitor and maintain data classification systems once they're in place is key. You need to continue to review your data classification policies and procedures. The data is changing, the drivers around it are fluid, so you need to be constantly reviewing those and updating automated tool sets that are dealing with those and making sure you get the most out of those automated tool sets once you've deployed it. So data classification is not a one-hit project. It's a project that needs to be successfully implemented and then monitored and managed as an ongoing operation. A further key pitfall with data classification is to fail to use tiered storage. As I stated before, you can generate significant operational and capital cost savings through housing data on different storage mediums. As your access profiles reduce and your data ages, your data becomes less important, you can move it to cheaper storage mediums that represent both a financial saving and can also, in this day and age, represent a significant environmental impact saving within the data center. So to summarise, to avoid many of those pitfalls that I've just talked about with a data classification project and running a data classification system in an ongoing operation will hopefully significantly increase an organisation's chances of success and having success around data classification in their organisation.